Data Bytes. Hi everyone, welcome back to an exciting episode on the Denodo Data Bytes series. I'm your host Neha, and today we're diving into a fascinating topic, the data AI loop, how circularity drives innovation. Joining us for this conversation is Andrea Zeno, data evangelist here at Denodo. Andrea brings over 3 decades of experience in the IT space, where he has explored everything from machine learning and digital transformation to advanced data analytics and innovation. Today's conversation will cover the data AI loop, a revolutionary concept that explores how data and AI forms a continuous cycle of learning, adaptation, and innovation. We'll also delve into its implications for organizations as well. So thank you for joining us, Andrea. I'm really eager to begin our conversation today. But before we get started, could you give us a brief introduction about yourself and your role at Denodo, please?
Yeah, for sure. So hello, everyone, and thank you, Nea, for the invitation. I'm 63, so I am a boomer, and I have been working in information technology, as you said, for about 37 years now. And over time, I have more or less always dealt with data. At the beginning of my career, I dealt with natural language understanding and knowledge representation, topics that at that time suffered from the poor processing capability of computers. So it was, let me say, quite the early stage of artificial intelligence, but that was very limited by the computational power of the computer at that time, that was very, very small, probably less power than a standard smartphone of nowadays. After working in Oracle for about 20 years, I joined Denodo Italia, initially as a sales director for government, so because we decided to develop this very specific industry. And then move as data evangelist, a role, so to speak, on the frontier, given that I am often the first contact with prospect, and I represent Denodo in the various conferences, event in which I participate, and where I share Denodo approach to data management. So it's basically a role, a business development role, to bring to the market how in Denodo we interpret the data management topic.
Thank you for sharing, Andrea. Let's get started with the topic of conversation for the day. So my first question for you, Andrea, is what does circularity between data and AI mean? And why is this relationship important in today's world of rapid AI advancements?
Good question. Basically, by circularity, I mean the reciprocal relationship that exists between data and artificial intelligence model or algorithms. In the sense that on the one end, data is what the model learning process is based on. So, you know, you provide data in the learning phase of any artificial intelligence model. On the other, the models, once in production, produce conclusions that enrich the available data. So there is therefore a continuous process of enrichment which starts from the data, passes through the models, and returns to the data. And this is a circular process, in fact. This circularity is continuous and never ends, as each model must continually adapt to a changing world. And if this adaptation were not to occur, we would have models whose performance would degrade over time, perhaps imperceptibly, but constantly, until the conclusion or prediction of a model are so distant from reality as to produce potentially catastrophic results.
So can you explain how the quality and type of data impact the training and performance of AI models?
The terms quality is a very important one, and unfortunately, at least regarding what I see here in Italy in different conferences of events, is very often treated as a very general, in a very general way, without go deeper in the real meaning of quality. Artificial intelligence in its various incarnations, and not only generative AI, but also traditional AI, essentially observes the world and produces hypotheses about it. synthesizes information and describes phenomena. This observation passes through data in a digital world, for sure, no? Which therefore must be of the highest quality so that the results are also of the highest quality. What is often forgotten, as I was just saying, however, is that the concept of quality is a very complex and articulated concept. And in my opinion, quality can be broken down into four different, area. The first one is the well-known one. I will call extensional quality or quality of measurement. For example, that a collected data have the right precision, there are no missing values. So imagine you are modeled a complex data like customer or citizen. This data will have some attributes. So the first level of quality is to check that each attribute has the right value, there are no missing value, each value has the right precision that is requested to perform something. And this is, in my opinion, the simplest quality we can check and assure. The second one, and for me is very important, is intentional quality or semantic quality. That is the fact that a piece of data has been modeled so that it correctly represents what is supposed to represent. For example, take again customer or citizen. We need to be sure that this kind of data has been modeled with all the attributes needed to study a particular phenomenon, such, for example, churning or whatever. And this is a very tricky point because normally, as philosophers said, the meaning depends on the use. So this means that a specific data that has been modeled with a respect a specific phenomenon in the past could be not adapted to study a different phenomenon in a different time. So also the concept of meaning that is captured by the way we model data is a continuous process, is a refining and continuous process. And this is something that brings us again into circularity or something that continues again over time. There is also a third type of quality, this is the quality of the data set chosen to train a model, which could, for example, be composed. So suppose that you have a very high quality data, both in the two different terms that I just explained, so extensional and intentional quality. This is not enough because you can be sure that the data set you prepare to train a model is balanced, is made in a way that avoid to be discriminatory or to have some bias, you know. So it's not enough to have data of a very good quality, but you have to put a lot of attention how you put together all the data to feed a model in the training phase. The fourth and the last and but not least aspect of quality is the relevance of the data chosen to study a given phenomenon. That is to select all the data that are, important or critical to, after the training phase, to have a model that correctly represents the phenomenon that you want to study. However, even if there are, I hope that you agree with this sort of a classification of quality, however, there is a difficulty in ensuring this kind of quality. And this difficulty depends on the fact that we generally ask artificial intelligence model to study a phenomenon that we do not know or that we only know partially. But the problem is, if we do not know a phenomenon, how can we understand what data are needed to study it? And what is the minimum level of quality required? And this is a sort of philosophical question that probably, this question I don't think can be answered comprehensively. because it's a sort of try and retry. So, and this is something that also happens in our normal life. No, imagine that when we grow up and we are taught by our parents how to cope with the world or whatever, is a continuous approach to observe and refine what we know. So it's very difficult in advance to say which data we need to understand a specific phenomenon, just because we don't know the phenomenon. And we cannot select the data without knowing the phenomenon. But we need to select the data to have someone, in this case, an AI algorithm, to give us some information about we are interested in. So it's a very complex circle of trying and retry until you have reached a level of quality or level of precision that if it's okay for your target.
Definitely agree with you, Andrea. So we've kind of covered quality of data and its impact on AI models. Now I want to move to the challenges aspect. Yeah. What challenges arise when AI models like large language models rely on vast amounts of data, and how can businesses manage these issues effectively?
With difficulties, let me say, because we could say that the greater the choice, the greater the difficulty in choosing the best data. So imagine you have tons of data, because this is the reality right now, because we have data coming from everywhere. Sure, you could think of feeding a model with all the available data, but this is a strong implications on the computational cost of the training, and on the evaluation and explainability of the conclusion that the model is able to provide. These two points, the computational cost and the explainability of the conclusion of the model, are very hot topic at the moment, because we are all discussing about how can manage the energy needed to train this kind of model. And this is a problem that explodes with the generative AI large language model, because they consume tons of energy. But we are also discussing about the explainability problem. How can, get the trust needed from people to use trust to trust the conclusion of a large language model. We talk about hallucination, we talk about privacy and whatever. So, and these two topics are made complex as the data grow. So it's not an easy task. Probably there is not a clear solution. And my point of view is that once again, the answer is in providing a solution, a technical solution that allows you to easily move and within the information heritage, making it easy to understand the data so that you can evaluate which data to use. So there is not, let me say, a priori solution. So we have to cope with tons of data. And this is a bad, because we have data about almost everything. But this is also a complex task, because, when you have so many data, it's not easy for a data scientist or whoever to move within around this data to understand what they represent, the relation, and so on. And let me say, each different task requires different data. So from an IT point of view, so from a software vendor like Denodo is, I think the only solution is make as easy as possible to understand, to move within this huge amount of data. So the simplicity probably is the most important feature that any solution of data management should have. So there is no, let me say, a magic word to say, okay, in this way I will sure that for now and the future I will always select the best possible data. This is impossible, because every task needs different data. So the only strategy we could have is to simplify the life of data scientists or in general of the data consumer.
Agree with you totally, Andrea. And like you mentioned, there are some dangers in terms of like, you know, explainability or like avoiding hallucinations or maintaining privacy. And I know that a lot of like AI models are continuously working to improve on these factors and avoid these. But the only solution, like you mentioned, is like simplicity, simplifying the entire navigation and data management process. So this kind of segues into my next question about learning and adaptability. Why is it important for AI systems to continuously learn and adapt? And how does this compare to how humans learn and evolve in your opinion?
This is a very good point because I love to make a comparison between algorithms and a human being, because, you know, we pretend that artificial intelligence soon or later will be close and close to the way we act and we think. So basically, we live in a fluid and dynamic world, which also changed suddenly, so that we know today may not be enough to face tomorrow. And this applies both to humans and to artificial intelligence model. So the world is the same. What is different is that the differences between us and the artificial intelligence algorithms. And this is why also the artificial intelligence algorithms and model must therefore be periodically retrained so that the performance provided by such model is always adequate to the change that have occurred over time. Compared to humans, however, there is an additional difficulty, nowadays, and that is the lack of critical sense that, at least for the moment, as I said, AI models do not have. Just to be clear, while we, regardless of how much we have been trained and educated, for example, by our parents, by the teacher at school, by friends or whatever, we are able autonomously to compare ourselves with others and to modify or adapt what we have learned to what we gain over time just observing and interacting with the world and people. This is not yet possible for artificial intelligence model, at least nowadays. I don't know in the future. Which base all their knowledge on the data used in the learning session without the possibility of questioning what has been provided to them. So basically, at moment, the algorithm, the AI algorithm and model just depend completely on the data we provide them during the training phase and during the adaptation phase when they are put in production. And this is a great difference with the human being, because we are able to act autonomously. So we learn from others, but then we learn by ourselves just interacting with the world. And this is, in my opinion, what at the moment make a big differences between us, between the human being and the artificial intelligence.
Very interesting the way you explain it. And it's very true. Like, I think AI is capable in terms of like adapting by itself and giving solutions based on like, you know, the data we are feeding it, but the adaptability based on the surroundings is something that is...
This is a good point. You mentioned a very good point, because yes, for example, in machine learning, you know, the algorithms are able to, let me say, continuously observe what is happening and modify its behavior to cope with a change. But the problem is that this kind of adaptation is based on the same data, the same, let me say, type of data we provide to the algorithm during the training phase. So, for example, if we provide a model with customer sales, customer care requests or whatever, the model can adapt over time because continuously monitor this kind of data. But at the moment, such models are not able to take a completely different data that are not provide to them during the training phase and say, oh, but this data is also interesting for what I have to do. So let me take this kind of data and check if I can change my behavior to perform well in a given contest. This is something that's still missing.
Agreed, totally. And I think to add to your point, it is still kind of a single way towards intellectual intelligence of AI, but it's not as multifaceted as humans. And I don't know if this is something that will happen in the future, but this is probably the direction things will move.
Yeah. And I also don't know if this is something that we would like to happen in the future, because we are, let me say, entering in a very deep and philosophical argumentation about what artificial intelligence should be. You know, in the past, even very many times ago, many years ago, there were a discussion about strong and weak AI. Now someone is start to talk about narrow AI and general AI. And the difference is almost the same. Not the general one, like in the past, the strong AI was the AI very close to the human way to think and to act in the world. I don't know if we have to the strong versus weak is no more considered now. The question is narrow versus general AI, so an AI that is able to plan, to take decision, to act autonomously. Sincerely, to be honest, I'm not sure that this is something that we need to point to in the future. So probably, because there is also a discussion about the acceptance of AI by the human beings, the question about trust, explainability, ethic arguments, and so it's a very complex scenario. It's not easy to say what we should expect or would like to expect in the coming years.
So how can companies use tools like Denodo to streamline the process of preparing and managing data for AI training and applications?
Yes, good point. How company should use tools like Denodo, because quite often there is not, let me say, any tools could be used in a more pervasive and in a more correct way. But basically, you know, the Denodo solution is based on a complete data management. So starting from there in integration, Denodo is able to be side to side with the data consumer and supporting the data consumer starting from the interaction through their exploration and understanding up to their use. So it's a complex solution that make the life of data consumer easier. And this is I think this is the focus that any data management solution should have above all other functionalities. So make the life of data consumer easier. And in Denodo, we believe that the starting point to do this is the creation of a single semantic model, because in my point of view, the data integration is a sort of semantic adventure, not a technical challenge or whatever, because we integrate data just to provide meaning and to represent the outside world or the context where a company normally act. So the single semantic model is a very key component of any data management solution, and also is a very important asset for any company that would like or that has to cope with data, with AI, or also with traditional analytics. So the semantic model is the place where the data are represented in their meaning and in the relationships they have with other data. And this is a fundamental element. We therefore start by understanding which data the company start to understand which data are available and which they believe are suitable for the model they are working on. And then move to investigate this data more deeply to be able to verify its quality in the meaning I said before. And finally, selecting which kind of data and which occurrences of data to put together to form a data set, to form a balanced data set that can be used for training. So it's a very complex journey. So we start with a goal that we would like to build an AI model that predict churning. And this is our goal. Then we need to start exploring data, understanding which data are available, the quality, if the data are balanced, if we are all examples, positive and negative, that are then used by the model to understand the churning process. So it is a very complex journey that probably take most of the time from the human effort before starting with the real training phase, so to switch on the computer and start to provide energy to a computational power to have the model trained. And this is, let me say, that this kind of journey on data is a very time consuming effort. And so this is why a data management solution should simplify this process, because, you know, we are complex machine. We, as human beings, are complex machine. So we also consume energy in doing tasks. So because the task to understand the data, to have information about the quality, to select the right data is a very complex task. If we have a complex ICT solution, probably this is a sort of a road to failure, because nobody was spend too much time just to prepare the data, just to understand the data, because be able to start the real learning phase. So if I have to select just a single word that describe what a data management solution should provide is simplicity. We need to simplify the complexity that any artificial intelligence task has.
It is really interesting to learn how the data AI loop represents a shift where data continuously feeds AI systems and return these systems, generate new data and insights, you know, in a reciprocal manner. So thank you for sharing your insights. Before we wrap up, I'd love to end this episode on a fun note with a quick Q&A round. Are you ready for the questions?
Yeah, all right.
Okay, awesome. So if you could personify data as a superhero, what would its superpower be?
Good question. Not easy to task. I would say that data, if they were a superhero, they will be Janus. Janus is the god who in the Roman mythology was able to see the past and the future. So just like data, which represent the past and allows us to predict the future. So data is our way to don't forget the past and to be prepared for the future through the algorithms and AI or whatever. So it's the perfect way to take control, to take knowledge and to have a knowledge on what is occurring in the past and what could be occurring in the future. And also to live better our present. So Janus is the superhero.
Wow. That's a great answer. Thank you for sharing, Andrea. And my final question for the day is, what's the most unexpected or quirky use of AI or data that you've come across or would love to see in the future?
Let me say, more than a strange use, because probably we can find a lot of strange use also in the marketing or whatever. What strikes me is the fact that nowadays any product or service that is presented to the market brings with it the word AI. Now everything has included some AI function, even when there is little or nothing of AI. I remember that a couple of years ago start to look some publicity on some car, I don't remember the brand, maybe Mercedes. They start to say, okay, we have introduced the first AI interaction dashboard for the car. So, hey Mercedes, what are the temperature? What are the? This is not really AI. This is a very simply rule-based natural language understanding. And this is was let me say two or three years ago. Now, if you look to the advertising or whatever, I think almost all the advertising campaign for any product or services includes the AI word within it. Even if, as I say, there is no AI. So it's I don't know, I would say that is something that surprised me, but the reality that, you know, everyone is normally try to ride the buzzword of the moment. So AI has a very great potential, but it's something that must be developed and controlled. So, but probably, as you say, if I try to go deeper, I am sure I will find some quirky use of AI. What I would like to say as a sort of future of desire for the future is to have an AI that supports the human being and frees him or her from boring tasks, so that he or she can dedicate themselves to what, at least for the moment, distinguish the human beings from the machine, such as raising children, teaching them art in its broadest expression, creativity, intuition, and similar things. So at the moment, if you look back in the industrial revolution in the past, on the steam machine, the electricity, the electronics, and whatever, each this kind of revolution changed the life of the human beings. I think that AI is the new revolution, but is not something that will substitute or take control, you said, of the human beings, but is something that allow the humans to spend more time on what they are more able to do, and let AI to take control of all the boring tasks or the activity, time consuming activity with a little or very, very low value. So it's a sort of collaboration. I hope that will be a sort of collaboration between AI or humans, where the two parts will take into account what they have to do at best. But I don't know, this is more a dream than a forecast.
Thank you, Andrea. This was a wonderful session, and it was great talking to you about Gen AI and its circular nature with data today.
Oh, thank you to you, Nea. Thanks again for inviting me. It was a pleasure to have this chat on this very important topic.
Thank you. And a quick message to our listeners. If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.